This episode is brought to you by Indeed. We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/journal. Terms and conditions apply.
In early 2018, hundreds of women spoke out in court about the years of abuse they'd suffered by Dr. Larry Nassar.
Larry was the Olympic doctor, and he molested me at the 2012 London Olympic Games.
Statements from athletes like Allie Reisman rocked USA Gymnastics and stunned many Americans.
USA Gymnastics, where is the honesty? Where is the transparency? Why must the manipulation continue?
Gymnasts drew attention to a problem in youth sports, that the adults in charge can't always be trusted to protect the underage athletes.
Last week, the Wall Street Journal reported that there is a federal investigation into sexual abuse allegations in another Olympic sport, swimming.
Breaking tonight, USA Swimming under federal investigation for allegations of covering up the sexual abuse of athletes.
Today on the show, the federal investigation into allegations of child sexual abuse and the cover-up at USA Swimming, and another federal investigation into a wider range of Olympic sports.
Welcome to The Journal, our show about money, business, and power. I'm Ryan Knutson.
And I'm Kate Linebaugh. It's Thursday, October 10th. Early last year, a former elite swimmer named Ariana Cooker-Smith came forward with allegations of abuse by her coach.
I wanted to believe that an organization like USA Swimming had my best interests at heart and that they were there to protect me. Not only were they not protecting me, but they were knowingly not protecting me and kept me in harm's way. I was allowed to stay in an abusive relationship that went on for almost a decade.
Ariana Cooker's alleged that her former coach groomed her for sexual abuse starting from age 13 and molested her when she was 16.
Rebecca O'Brien has been covering abuse in Olympic sports.
And then they had a sexual and abusive codependent relationship until her early 20s.
By doing nothing, it enabled Sean Hutchison to abuse me for a decade.
Her coach, Sean Hutchison, was the Olympics coach for a little bit, the national team coach.
During that decade, he stole many things from me, including my swimming career, my college experience, friendships, my virginity, and ultimately my Olympic dream.
And only at the end of last year was he formally banned for life from USA Swimming. And part of her allegations were not just that she was abused. I mean, the abuse is obviously a central piece of the story, but that USA Swimming stalled in the investigation and didn't complete the investigation the way it should have been.
Organizations like USA Swimming have long been in a position to deter, detect, and discipline sexual abuse, and have done little or nothing to do such in an effort to protect their public image.
When the Journal reached out for comment, a lawyer for Sean Hutchison said Hutchison denied abusing Ariana Cooker-Smith and said they lived together in a committed relationship. Cooker-Smith is one of hundreds of swimmers who have alleged abuse against USA Swimming coaches and other officials. Last week, Rebecca reported on a federal investigation based out of the Southern District of New York. Prosecutors there are looking into two aspects of this scandal: the alleged sexual abuse, and the existence of a potential cover-up to avoid paying settlements to victims. She learned this from conversations with people who have worked in USA Swimming, victims, and people familiar with the investigation. It starts with a system that allowed alleged sexual abuse to happen for decades.
You have a lot of young swimmers, most of whom are identified as being exceptional before they're adults, so they're children in the care of coaches who are adults. And logistically speaking, if you're a good athlete, at some point starting in around 8 or 9 or 10, you're going to multiple practices a week. Your parents probably aren't there all the time. Your coaches, however, are. And they are extremely part of your life and your development as an athlete depends on them, these kids also travel for meets. And when they travel, they're often unaccompanied by parents. But you're also in a pool, you're in a bathing suit, you're in a locker room. Even if your parents are there every day, they're probably not watching you constantly. And it's a physical activity. Coaches are working with, literally, they're working with your bodies. So they touch you, they move you, you need to be in contact with them basically every day.
Not only are the relationships extremely close, there's also a huge power imbalance.
It's not just a teacher-student thing. It's as if your teacher is the one who's going to personally place you at Harvard. The coaches are the ones who determine where you race and who you race against. And that is hugely important if you're hoping to make it to the Olympics one day. And there are only a few coaches and a few swim clubs that will potentially elevate you to the Olympics.
Up until 2017, if an athlete reported abuse within USA Swimming, the allegation was assessed within the organization at an internal board hearing. No one outside was involved. Victims and their lawyers allege that the process was at times opaque and also at times purposefully misleading. And federal investigators are looking at that process.
Before the board hearing, a lawyer from one of a few firms would reach out to the victim's family or representatives and say, "Hi, I'm with USA Swimming or I'm with this law firm. I'd like to talk to you about your case." And the lawyer asked some questions about what went wrong and details about when this abuse took place. These are kids talking about abuse that they might not remember perfectly. There's always inconsistencies in these kinds of stories. It's incredibly awkward. The lawyer, they represent themselves as being impartial in a sense because they're from USA Swimming and not representing the coach. But what was described to me by a number of these lawyers and the victims is that they would then show up at the board hearing only to discover that this lawyer whom they've confided the details of their case and what they plan to present isn't really impartial. And in fact, USA Swimming isn't really impartial. They are acting to protect their own interests in the minds of these women and their lawyers. I mean, that's the allegation here.
Which is essentially that these outside lawyers manipulated the families for the benefit of USA Swimming.
Right, and that's part of this process that was meant to squelch these allegations. This lawyer will then use that information against them once they show up in this board hearing. Or that is the allegation that these women have made and their lawyers have made. These parents and the kid would think USA Swimming is my backer here, right? They're my advocate. They want the right thing to happen to my kid. They're the impartial judge. And then they'd show up to these hearings, and that lawyer would effectively be acting as the coach's advocate because USA Swimming was not impartial. They were protecting the coach's interests, not the kid's.
How does that protect USA Swimming's interest?
Their interest is in fostering potential young athletes. However, their interest is also in keeping themselves out of the news. What sources have indicated to me is that the financial stakes were such that USA Swimming did not want there to be public allegations of wrongdoing or coach abuse. So whatever they could do to prevent you from, you know, filing a lawsuit or making public your allegations against the coach, they would do. And if that meant effectively protecting the coach, they would do it. The barriers to reporting abuse or allegations of abuse are basically insurmountable under those circumstances.
In 2018, Congress passed a law requiring all child abuse allegations to be reported immediately to law enforcement. That law meant that USA Swimming was obligated to stop using this internal board review system. The second element of the Manhattan federal investigation is the cover-up of the alleged sexual abuse. People familiar with the investigation say that this is where the potential financial fraud comes in.
The Manhattan federal investigation, our sources tell us, they're looking at the financial and business conduct of the executives at USA Swimming. So sex abuse was the way in, but now that they're looking, they're seeing a bunch of other potential misconduct there.
Sources told Rebecca that USA Swimming had an alleged scheme through its insurance company to pay victims as little as possible in settlements.
When this tip first came to me, it was the Southern District of New York is investigating USA Swimming and its insurance company. And I thought, what? It doesn't necessarily make sense. You don't necessarily connect child sex abuse and its cover-up with insurance fraud. But what I understand from my sources is that prosecutors are looking at USA Swimming's relationship with its insurance company. This insurance company was called the United States Sports Insurance Company, or USIC. It was based in Barbados and founded in 1988. USIC only served USA Swimming, and it provided coverage for general liability and things like, you know, injuries in the pool. And, of course, it also ultimately served to cover for sexual abuse claims. And at the heart of the investigation is a question of whether the governing body was artificially keeping claims low, in part because it was in a position to profit.
Why are these financial aspects, like the insurance company, such a focus of these investigations?
Well, we're seeing federal prosecutors look beyond the alleged abuse at potential financial crimes and wrongdoing that was done in the course of business. That suggests that it's not going to be enough for these organizations to apologize and to appear before Congress and express contrition and a deliberate wish to change. Our sources have told us that prosecutors are following the money trail in USA Swimming. But the bigger question is, why is this money trail protecting the organization and not protecting the children who are alleging abuse?
USA Swimming's insurance company allegedly took pains to avoid paying claims, even making the case to victims that it couldn't afford to pay more. And it had a direct financial incentive to do so.
At the end of the year, any money this insurance company doesn't spend to resolve claims of sexual abuse or whatever just goes back to USA Swimming. So you can imagine that the incentives here are a little bit weird, right? So USA Swimming has a direct financial incentive to not have many claims made on its policies because then they won't get money back. And any money that didn't go from the insurance company to the victims went to USA Swimming. So they're literally incentivized to not have that many abuse claims because they will get more money back for themselves. So if prosecutors determine that there is some sort of deliberate scheme to minimize claims or to lie about what kind of claims were available or what kind of insurance payouts were available to victims of sexual abuse, and those lies prevented people from seeking insurance or filing claims with the insurance company, then that could be fraud.
A USA Swimming spokeswoman said the organization was confident in the integrity of its finances and tax filings, including for the insurance company, which stopped operating in 2014. And the spokeswoman also said the organization, quote, supports any government investigation that goes toward protecting athletes. After the break, a broader federal investigation into sexual abuse allegations in national youth sports.
This episode is brought to you by GlobalX ETFs. Buzz around artificial intelligence is seemingly everywhere. Is your portfolio keeping up? Consider the GlobalX Artificial Intelligence and Technology ETF, ticker AIQ, which invests in dozens of stocks at the leading edge of this disruption. Investing involves risk, including possible loss of principal. Technology companies can be affected by rapid product obsolescence and intense industry competition. Before investing carefully, consider the fund's objectives, risks, charges, expenses, and more in the full or summary prospectus at globalxetfs.com. Read carefully. Distributed by SEI Investments Distribution Company.
This episode is brought to you by Indeed. We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/journal. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome back. Last week, the Wall Street Journal reported that Manhattan federal prosecutors are investigating USA Swimming. But USA Swimming is also embroiled in another, more wide-ranging investigation by the Department of Justice and the Internal Revenue Service.
The broader federal investigation run out of D.C. involves the DOJ's money laundering unit and the child exploitation unit. And specifically within money laundering, I understand there's a human trafficking expert in there. And when I heard that for the first time from a source, I thought, that is so bizarre. Child exploitation, money laundering, like where is that coming from? When you think about it at first, it doesn't really square with what we think of as the Olympics.
According to people familiar with the investigation, the DOJ is looking at a wide range of Olympic organizations, such as USA Swimming, USA Gymnastics, as well as the US Olympic and Paralympic Committee. One source told Rebecca that the investigation is focused on how these sports and the Olympic system generally have failed to respond to signs of widespread child abuse. Other sources have said that investigators are broadly considering whether the Olympic system inherently exploits child athletes.
We know these investigations have been going on since around the turn of the year, and sometimes these things take a long time. It's probably likely that what will happen is that some of these cases will be sent out from the Department of Justice to other offices around the country to bring cases against discrete coaches for alleged wrongdoing. But some of it could work up to other bigger charges. One person I talked to who had been briefed on this investigation, I asked that question of this person, and they said to me, I think the idea is to not send athletes off to the Olympics in 2020 with predator coaches and criminal executives. I think this person was being facetious with me, but I think there is a kind of natural deadline for some of these major investigations to wrap up, and that would be ideally the 2020 Olympics.
And that's next year. How do you think these investigations cast a light on the 2020 Olympics?
Every 4 years, Americans tune in to the Summer Olympics because it is inspiring and incredible to watch what these amazing athletes can do. And I don't think that the amazing athletes are going to go away just because there's all of these horrific sexual abuse allegations. You know, Simone Biles will be back up there, hopefully raking in scores of gold medals. And we have an incredible base of great athletes in this country. When I talk to parents about this, that's what they all are upset about. It's like, we thought our daughter was representing the United States of America. It was the greatest honor of my life. And that's when I just get weepy. I mean, one of the first parents I talked to about gymnastics sexual abuse was like, having my daughter compete on the national stage for her country was the greatest thing that ever happened to me. If I had known what was going on behind the scenes with her doctor, I would never have let this happen. You know, when we watch the Olympics, we feel this incredible national pride, or at least I do, and you watch all these amazing young athletes, some of whom are barely teenagers, doing amazing things with their bodies, and you see all the spectacle and excitement. But then you think about it and you say, well, maybe we've been watching this wrong all along, and the darker side of the Olympics does have an exploitative element to it. These are children in some cases, and there's a whole lot of money going on. And all these organizations that are responsible for bringing these kids overseas to compete in the Olympics are also making a lot of money. So covering these investigations over the years and now knowing that the Department of Justice, money laundering, and child exploitation units are involved in this investigation, you think maybe we've just been watching it all wrong.
USA Swimming, USA Gymnastics, and the US Olympic and Paralympic Committee have said they are working with law enforcement on these investigations and have pledged to promote athlete safety. That's all for today, Thursday, October 10th.
The Journal is a co-production of Gimlet and The Wall Street Journal.
Thanks for listening.
See you tomorrow.